B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz here again, brought to you by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, where we beam across New England and the country. Mondays are re-entry Mondays, brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Everything from the weekend. I think the lead today is just the Celtics, and I've been in this place here for a while where I think the writing is on the wall for Brad Stevens. And I've been saying this for a couple of months because I just think it's so clear he's lost the team. And usually in the NBA, when there's a team that's has been lost by the coach doesn't get him back, and it's usually the coach that ends up going, not the roster, especially when it's a young and talented roster, as this team still is. Brown, Tatum, at least. So I've been on this for a while, but I just think yesterday's loss, Maz, to Miami was just so striking and so glaring and just accentuates your issues so dramatically that, you know, and then there's been some subsequent reporting or opining anyway that leads me to believe that we got something big coming down the pike with this Celtics team, as it should be. Again, Miami exposes you. Miami, on paper, is not much more talented than you, if they're more talented than you at all. You got two All-Stars, three if you include Kemba, formerly. What, the Heat have two? Is that a bio? He's made All-Star games, right?
Or yeah, I think he made it last year, yeah.
Okay, so, like, but, I mean, just talent for talent, they're not much better than you, or I don't even know if they are. But, oh, they own you. They own you. You watch the teams play. You watch Miami and Boston play. And this goes back to last year in the playoffs. They are so much more together. They play so much harder, so much more focused. They just play together so much better. They're so much better coached, I think. They expose you. I mean, just yesterday, just simple things like posting up Kemba Walker and running the offense through the post on Kemba Walker. You had no answer for it. They were toying with you on that. Open cutters or open three-pointers or just backing Kemba Walker down, and you had no answer. Last year in the bubble, they went zone, and you had no answers. Like, seemingly simple things. But I just think it's just night and day how much better put together they are than you. And so I just think you're at a stage where something major is going to happen to this team in the offseason. It has to.
If there's no way anybody could watch that game yesterday and come to a similar conclusion. Not because I told you, I was waiting it out. I think it's more about the players than it is about the coach. But the fact is, you may have no other choice. That I get. But I was waiting for the Miami games. I wanted to see what these two games look like. Show me you got some balls. Show me something. Show me that you just woke up at the last minute. Whatever it was, show me. They gave up 79 points in the first half. Mm. 79 points. And it was sloppy, too, all the way around, not just on the defensive end. They were turning the ball over, I mean, making lazy passes that got picked off.
Some of it was lack of effort, but some of it was just purely Miami out-executes you because they're well-coached and they take the coaching and they're all together and they play with force and cohesion, and you don't.
They're smart. Look at the way that they attack Kemba Walker because they know what a liability he is defensively, and they certainly did that yesterday.
So what do you do about it? You know, again, Gary Washburn in the Globe sees lack of motivation and defensive execution falls on Brad Stevens. That's the headline. But then he writes, you could almost hear Brad Stevens telling reporters after yet another horrid Celtics defensive effort to wait until the offseason when he can make significant changes. What do you mean when he can make significant changes? He's the coach. He's not the GM. But Washburn does tie it together. He says, you know, sometimes coaching changes can have that effect of turning a team around. Take the situation in Atlanta, where the Hawks were underachieving under Lloyd Pierce, and he got fired for it. Nate McMillan took over, and the same guys have gone 23-11 with a chance at home court advantage in the first round. Now, this isn't to say Stevens should be fired, but he definitely needs to take major blame for these shortcomings and perhaps have more influence on the roster moving forward if he knows he doesn't have the personnel to defend adequately. So again, here's Washburn talking about Stevens making personnel changes. What do you think that could be about, Maz?
Okay, so look, again, there was someone that emailed this in earlier in the day about, you know, the Celtics should have made the Miles Turner deal, which led me to this. Maybe Stevens wanted Turner. Like, as you talk about the personnel, maybe Saban says, well, okay, what about in the paint? We have nobody to defend the paint. So maybe there's some sort of thing there with him and Ainge. And then, as we speak about Ainge, the other thing I would tell you is there are still whispers out there about Ainge disconnecting and, you know, checking out. And when I say checking out, meaning, you know, becoming some sort of, dare I say, like consultant or, you know, advisor, you know, in sort of the way that Red was there at the end for a little while, if I remember right. And so, you know, yeah, maybe he's ready to move on. Those whispers, Murray, those whispers are not dying. They're not dying. They're still out there. And there was that podcast early in the year where Bill Simmons and Jackie McMullen, you know, sort of tossed out the idea that maybe Angel, you know, cash out at the end of the year. Something's coming, Mike.
Right.
Something's coming, whether it's Ainge, whether it's Stevens, whether it's both or someone on the roster or all of it.
It has to.
Something's coming.
You can't come back next season with all the same pieces in place and expect a different result. It's not going to happen.
And I wonder if there's a little something between the coach and the GM. Wouldn't be the first. Like, I don't think like they hate each other, but when Brad Stevens, and you'll hear the cut here coming up, he takes responsibility for the way they showed up, but he mentions in the next breath that we're small, and so we have to play extra hard, and it's on me to get us to play extra hard. I'm paraphrasing there, but he did say we're small. So what's that about? That's a statement about his roster, and it's not just about an injury to Robert Williams. After the Chicago game on Friday, he said they're a bad matchup for us.
Yeah, you're right to point out this too, because this feels like it's coded to me. Like there's a move there that he didn't make. Maybe it was to get Miles Turner. Maybe it was to get Nick Vucevic, right? So who went from Orlando to the Bulls. And I think he could have been had. The report at the time was, what, maybe a couple of ones and a player, maybe like Marcus Smart. You make that move.
Chicago blows. They're not a bad matchup for anyone who's any good. They suck. But you come out of getting your doors blown off by the effing Bulls, and the coach says they're a bad matchup? Well, he's talking about his roster. He's talking about the size on Chicago. We can't match it. Brad wants more size. I think it's obvious to me.
Yeah, and Murray.
And Danny hasn't given it to him. Subsequently, also that Chicago thing, Tice is there. And I think Stevens did not like losing Tice. That was a money thing. And so I think Brad is in his very tacit, very understated way complaining about his roster.
Well, and the one thing they liked about Tice on the defensive end was that he could defend the pick and roll and he could switch, and you know, he got it right. He got it. But Murray, to your point, now that you think of it, maybe it's not that he wanted Turner or that he wanted Vucevic. How about just either one?
Size.
Get me a big guy. So they get torched in the paint against some of these teams. They get torched.
And Miami's so smart. They don't need Adebayo to expose the paint. They send anyone in there. They get a switch on Walker. Then they get Walker into the paint. There's no help there. The Celts don't play hard on D. They don't help on D. And you just pick on Kemba Walker in the post and run through the offense there. I mean, it's simple, but Spoelstra and Miami get it, and they expose all your problems when you play that team. And so I heretofore, I thought, well, it's Stevens. He's, you know, it's just the writing's on the wall. This is the NBA. You don't fire the roster. You don't fire the GM. You fire the coach. Well, maybe they go in the other direction. Maybe the GM takes a step somewhere and Stevens assumes more control. Wow, that would be a switch. I don't know if that's smart, but at least that's moving in a direction. I mean, the Philly model. To me, what Philly did, change the coach, tinker with a couple roster pieces, get a front office change. Daryl Morey's in there. And I don't know, is he the GM or he has a different role, right? Isn't Elton Brand still the guy? Am I just talking up my ass here?
Sixers?
Yeah. Or did he become the GM?
No, I think it's Morey.
Yeah.
So he became the GM.
I think so.
Okay.
I'll double check.
But either way, so they did. They kept their two stars. They kept Simmons and Embiid, imperfect as they were.
Brand is still there.
Yeah, so Brand is still there, but Morey came in as...
He's the president of basketball ops like Ainge.
Okay. So there's like a... Whatever. There was a reorg in the front office. There was a new coach. And they tinkered with the roster. Boom. There they are. And so that's sort of, I think, the path for the Celtics. And now maybe Stevens is part of that reorg. I don't know. He stays. Ainge. I don't know. Something has to give. And when Jeff Goodman, again, he did an interview across the street over the weekend in WEEI. I want to give proper credit. So Jeff Goodman, who is just someone I think, and he'll be on NBC Sports Boston tonight. So watch our programming tonight. You know, he did an interview over the weekend where he said, you know, after this year, if you don't win a playoff series, I think you have a decision to make if you're Danny Ainge. Door A is making a move on Brad Stevens, and door B is exploring the opportunity of trading Jaylen Brown and seeing what you can get. So Goodman, who is filthy with guys like Stevens and filthy with guys like Ainge, like he's tight with all, he's mobbed up with all these guys. When he puts that on the table, that's the first quote-unquote mainstream media guy I've really heard put it out there like that. And he's kind of close to the situation. It's not someone like me saying last month the writing's on the wall. This is a guy that's sort of in there. And Goodman said about Stevens, you're not going to find a higher character guy. But listen, at some point, you have to look in the mirror if you're Danny Ainge and say, we can't go in with the same group next year. We have to do something different. And the easier move to make, obviously, is the coach. Maybe it's just not clicking right now. Brad Stevens, listen, if something happens with him, he's going to find a new spot in the NBA within 5 minutes. So don't feel sorry for Brad. He'll be just fine. It wouldn't shock me if he took a year off and spent it with his family and his kids and whatnot. Brad is simply that type of dude. But you need somebody. And he's, again, now he's sort of talking about the new coach, I think. But you need somebody. You do need somebody. Can you get a former NBA player in? I think that's what Danny would look for if he made a move. But listen, they signed Brad to a 5-year deal last year with a ton of money on the contract. So is Wick, the owner, going to pay that money and pay it out at this point? Again, the alternative is there are three deals here, three options, he says. It's Brad, he goes. It's Jaylen Brown, he goes. Or it's going with what you have again next year. And I'll paraphrase by saying that's probably untenable. So it's either a major roster shakeup or it's Brad Stevens, according to Jeff Goodman.
Yeah, or a combination of those.
It's got to be.
Yeah, something big's coming. And again, the only thing that I would add there that he didn't is Ainge. I think Ainge is on the table too. Again, whether it by his choice, or I have a hard time believing that Wick would fire Ainge or Stevens for that matter.
I don't think either are getting quote unquote fired.
No. Look, again, you know, I think one of the jokes around the NBA is that with the Celtics, you get a job for life.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, and not among us, among people in the league.
Yeah.
So we say one thing, you know, whatever.
Supreme Court justices.
Yes. I think there is a sense in the league that that's how the Celtics operate.
And they're too happy down there to flat out fire these guys. No, it'll be some sort of reorg. Or as we mentioned earlier, Maz, instead of firing Stevens, do you trade him like you traded Doc Rivers?
Yeah, maybe.
Trade.
Yeah, I think that's in play.
So maybe all those boos yesterday can help jar some of that stubbornness loose.
Look, it would not shock me if Stevens wants out. Like, it's one thing to say Stevens has got to go. Stevens might say, oh, please, thank you. I'm not joking.
No, I'm not.
I've seen it happen. Point. I've seen it happen with teams where eventually you guys said, please just fire me so I can get out of here. It's got to end. This has got to end. It's just too much.
So that's where I always think with the Celtics. Again, as I said, at 2 o'clock, it's not if they're going to blow this thing up, it's how. How are they going to blow this up? How should they blow it up? Back to your phones on this and everything else right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Maz. What the?
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
Well, they outplayed us, obviously, in the first half. There's no excuse for that. Certainly anybody on the Celtics side, we're all responsible for that. But first and foremost, I think that, you know, that would fall on me. And so we have to do a better job. We have not been good on several occasions this year starting games. I mean, you look out there, Gary, we're small. And so we have to fight. Like, we have to be super hard playing, super physical, and super difficult to play against. And we weren't in the first 24 minutes.
There's Stevens last night taking responsibility, but in the same breath, you got to work with me here. Like, in the same breath, he says, yeah, it's my job to get him ready to play, and we weren't ready to play. But you also understand we're small. And because we're so small, we have to work extra hard. We have to put in extra effort. So it's my job to do it, but you do understand we have to go above and beyond because we can't match up size-wise because of our roster. That's the whole undercurrent there to me in that comment.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about it. And so look at, and I think there are two messages there. One is to his players are, you guys have to try harder, not less. That's one. And the other one is our roster sucks. And it might not be in that order. Like the absence of a big guy has to be grating on him. And I'm adding this to, you know, again, emails we've received, what have you. But they've had opportunities now to trade for big guys. Instead, they endorsed Robert Williams as the guy and got rid of Tice. They didn't add Vucevic. They didn't add Miles Turner. And now, and Robert Williams has missed how many games now in the last little bit?
Oh, my God, please.
I mean, it happens constantly
I
with
don't
that
count.
Guy.
Right.
Yeah, so look, again, now the results have been good. What was that stat they showed last night that they were 10-2 going into yesterday?
With him?
Well, as
yeah.
a starter.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, as a starter. And so I do think there's value in Williams when he's on the floor. But the fact is, he's not on the floor enough. So Stevens is probably throwing up his hands going, all right, you know, I didn't have a big guy to begin with. But then, you know, the other one that we do have now is out of the lineup. So what do you exactly want me to do when all they do is back us down and score?
Okay, so where do they go from here? Because they got to go somewhere. And they no possible way they just roll this back like this next year. No way. All right, back to your phones on everything on a reentry Monday. Kevin in the car on Mac Jones. Go ahead, Kevin. Kevin!
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think the reason the Patriots are trying so hard to convince everyone that Mac Jones, that everyone wanted Mac Jones, especially that the Saints were trying to trade up for him, is so that if he comes out as a bust, they can just say, you know, oh, well, you know, everyone wanted him. It wasn't just us, you know. Everyone was trying to get him, especially the Saints, you know. Yeah, they really wanted him. You know, and they didn't even have to trade for him. You know, they can just say, oh, well, you know, he just fell to us at 15, so we decided to take him because everyone said he was so good.
So, Kevin, you think that's going to work? Meaning,
no,
if,
no.
If Mac Jones is a bust, we're going to lay off him because Mac Jones was in demand and they were just doing what everyone else would have done?
No, I'll tell you.
We'll hammer him. We're going to forget where he was taken and the other teams that were or weren't involved. It's all going to get forgotten.
We will, but will, you know, the fans or those that are way into the team? No.
Yeah, my big takeaway is that you know, they're not fully committed on the pick. Now, again, you can call that 90%, 95, 80. I don't care what number you use.
I just think they're sensitive and egotistical, and they have to win every news story is what I think.
I think they got backed into a pick that they wouldn't have made under other circumstances. That's what I think, or at least Bill did.
We talked some baseball earlier and the massive strikeout rates across baseball and the lousy batting averages across baseball, and Chris in Salem wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Chris.
Tony, the Bill Simmons interview with Theo gave me a lot of hope about the future of baseball. The thing that I found most interesting from it was the fan poll that Theo cited. He didn't say how old the fans were, but the plays that people were most excited were triples, doubles, and base stealing, which is actually meant on base and not home runs. So I'm curious your thoughts on those poll results.
Yeah, so Chris, look, I didn't listen to the entirety of the interview. I tried to listen to the parts where, you know, that I had an interest in. And look, I am heartened by the fact that, you know, I think it's understood at this point, fans want more action in the game. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with doubles, triples, and steals. Like, so I have no issue with that. The part that I found interesting was, again, Theo put a premium on the contact more than anything else, because I've been a big believer in got to get rid of the shift. Got to get rid of that. And, you know, the idea of moving the mound back or altering the strike zone or something, that's a good solution.
And I'm with Theo on all this. I think Manfred has said a lot of the right things the last couple of years. Who's going to stand up to the players and get them to take these changes?
Good question.
That's the story.
Yep.
Until that starts to happen, this is we're all just sort of playing with ourselves.
But, Mike, that's the real reason Theo's there, because he's one of the few people that can talk to both sides.
We've got Derek in Clinton on the Celtics. Hi, Derek.
Hi, guys. I just want to talk about how this is the most unlikable Celtics team of the Brad Stevens era.
It does seem like they've really got you down, too, Derek. I can tell.
I thought it would never be worse than those Kyrie Celtics. But at least on that team, I only hated one person. I hated Kyrie. On this team, I hate everyone. All of them. And I hate Brad. I hate Danny. Give me the Bridgies. I want the Bridgies back. I miss them.
Okay, Derek.
I hate this team. Get them off my screen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
because of the gutlessness and quit that you see in them. And games like yesterday where they come out completely flat and unprepared in a game that, for all intents and purposes, is a playoff game.
It's the season. I hated the Kyrie team worse, but that's...
Oh, I did too. But Maz, I think I'm more with the caller. They're as pathetic as they are hateable. It's the lack of effort thing.
That Kyrie team had greater potential. That team was ballless. Completely, utterly ballless.
Tony and Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
How you doing, guys? Hey, Jimmy, I enjoyed your show, Sad. You're doing a good job.
Hey, thanks, Tony.
Listen, let me tell you something. I keep telling you guys this, and you keep putting it out of your
head. Well, we just disagree with it, Tony, but I know. Try it again.
Here's the thing. Kraft realized that Belichick can't draft in the last 5-6 years. He saw the value of the players that were available, and he had the money to spend, so they signed the players. Number one. Number two, no team in football needed a quarterback more than the Patriots did. They targeted Mass. They know who the team, what player the team is taking that are ahead of them. They didn't have to trade up. If anyone wanted Mass...
Tony, why do you keep talking... I know they didn't have to trade up because no one else wanted the player.
And the last thing, Mike, why did they draft a quarterback in the first round this year?
Because they had to.
Exactly. Did they need a quarterback in the first round in the last 25 years? No.
Yeah, but so what? You can still draft one when the guy that you have is nearing the end. A lot of smart teams do that, Tony. Nothing wrong with that. I actually think that's the right approach. But we don't have to go back to that. What's this thing about trading up? I'm not asking the Patriots to trade up.
Yeah, I don't know why he keeps harping on that. The one thing that I think he's wrong about is I think that the plan A was Garoppolo. He doesn't want to admit that. He thinks that they were just locked in on taking a QB in round one. And let me tell you, if they had been able to finalize a deal for Garoppolo, both with him and with the Niners, I'm not sure they'd have taken a quarterback in the first round at all.
But the trade-up thing, no, I never said they should trade up or that I wanted them to trade up. They had the board right. They got the board right. They knew nobody else wanted them.
Right. Who's ripping them for not trading up?
I don't know. I don't get why that's taking root.
I'd let that go in one ear and out the other.
Okay, but they had it right, which just goes back to the Fred and Jeff Howe argument. The Patriots knew he was not in high demand, which is why they could just sit there at 15 and take the player. I don't know why it's so important to the Patriots now to sort of reverse that narrative, but it is. And it's just, oh, well, you know, here we go. Another thing.
Well, they want credit.
I guess.
They want credit for picking him, even if he sucks.
He wasn't in high demand, and they knew it, so they could sit there at 15 and just take him. That's what happened. Why are we trying to rewrite that? But they. Why are they trying to rewrite that?
Because they got to get credit.
I guess. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They also have a behind-the-scenes infrastructure that has been pretty much the same since the mid-2000s, right?
Yes.
The same owners, the same GM, the same president, the same assistant GM. And really the only change over the last 15 years, I would say, is that Danny's son became more involved as a seat at the table guy.
Yeah. So, and he earned that, by the way. He earned that right.
100%.
Yeah,
so you're talking over a decade with the exact same infrastructure for the decision making, but it's unusual in the league for that to be the case for this long. And if the Celtics don't rally and they end up having, you know, the second half of the year is as disappointing as the first half, I really would be surprised if something didn't change because...
Bill Simmons and Jackie McMullen, we referenced it earlier. When was that, Stu? Did you have the date on that?
March 2nd.
So, thank you. If things don't improve in the second half versus the first, can't imagine there wouldn't be some change. Well, things haven't improved. I think they've gotten worse, frankly, with each, you know, must-win game that you don't show up for. It's gotten worse. And, again, I think these Miami games, you are particularly exposed. They expose your faults
worse than any other team, just about, because you're not losing on pure talent. So here we are. And maybe Simmons and Jackie were sniffing the same things or hearing the same whispers you were hearing there, Mass.
Oh, look, again, I mean, to me, the idea that Ainge could be gone is in play. I just, those whispers keep coming up, Mike. They keep coming up. Now, again, I'm not telling.
Does it come with a buzz on your wrist, too?
No, no buzz on my wrist. No, it's got nothing to do with the Apple Watch. I'm just telling you, it's not going away. Since we first heard it a couple of months ago, it's still a, something's got to change over there. Something has to change. Whether it's Ainge or Stevens or the roster or some combination of all those things, something has to change. What they're doing right now is not working.
All right, to your calls, as promised. Stephen Quincy, will anything change over there?
Yeah, guys. So here's my thing, and I need to be transparent with you guys. For this whole season, I've been Mr. Celtic, arguing with people on Twitter like a loser. And those last couple of games absolutely broke me. I mean, to show up like that in Miami, which was essentially a playoff game, like you guys said, it was pathetic. Here's the thing, and this is where, Mike, when you said, I can't imagine how they can do nothing and not make any changes, think for a second about how many things they have built in to where they can come back to us and go, we didn't need to make any changes. Look how much time the players have lost to COVID protocols. We lead the league in that. Oh, well, our big deadline acquisition, Evan Fournier, well, he was out. He got COVID as soon as he came to the team. So we couldn't get any consistency that way. Oh, well, our lineups haven't been consistent all year. So, you know, how could you expect us to play well?
Okay,
so
do you think they're going to do that?
Thing is, that
is that what you think they're going to do?
Honestly, at the end of the day, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Okay, they're going to roll everybody back, bring everybody back, and blame COVID.
I'd be shocked if they did that. And you know who said the same thing? The Patriots. And you know what they did? They spent $250 million in free agency and drafted a quarterback in the first round for the first time since Drew Bledsoe. Okay, so like,
I don't know. Given their attitude, I wouldn't be surprised if they just came back and made excuses.
No way.
The players, at least.
No way. No way. There's something coming. I just don't know what it is. And look, it might be Marcus Smart going. Like, I'm not telling you that in and of itself it's going to be, like, I don't know if you call that a blockbuster or not, but I'd call it a significant change.
I mean, the only chance they had of, like, rolling it back is if they went on some sort of run here. Does anyone think that's going to happen?
No.
I mean,
I'll be honest with you. If they get bounced in the play-in, I wouldn't be at all shocked. In fact, I think I'd be happy.
Pat in the car on the Patriots. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, how are you, Felga? So first things first, I think that if you look at the Patriots linebacking core, they got a bunch of guys, the who's who and the whodunit. And I got to tell you, I think Hightower's on his way out. The second thing is someone called earlier and mentioned Perez Day, and I got to tell you, I have no idea what a earthquake is, but it sounded pretty cool. Have a good day, guys.
Okay, I glossed over all of it.
Me too.
If Hightower's gone, who's the Mike?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
I don't have the answer for you. I wouldn't rule out that he's gone, though.
Well, maybe Van Noy?
Yeah, maybe.
Mike?
He's more of an outside linebacker, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. Wayne in Yarmouth on the Celts. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, I'm in the camp of the earlier caller that I think they'll roll it back. I think that that's what they did basically this year. With some minor changes, they'll make some minor changes going into next year, and yet we'll have another exact same replica of what this year has been. I think that's what all this leads to. And Goodman's article is a perfect example of his, insight, thanks to you guys with how you analyze this. And door three or C is what I really believe is going to happen with the Celtics.
But Goodman concluded door C is not tenable, and I don't think he used that exact word, but. I did. That's a summation. No. I take the Goodman report interview, analysis rather, as a sign that something's coming. When Jeff Goodman, again, who is mobbed up with these guys, writes, I think you have a decision to make if you're Danny Ainge. Door A is making a move on Brad Stevens, and door B is exploring the opportunity of trading Jaylen Brown and seeing what you can get. You're talking about major foundational moves, one or the other. The coach or a major piece on the roster has to go because they're not working together. Now, no, I take it just the opposite, Wayne, that something's coming. If Goodman's dipping his toe in this pool, something's coming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you use logic, and I'm not discounting the Jeff Goodman report. I put a lot of stock in that, too. I just think that, look at the way it's gone. Look at the way it's gone. And it's not like they can go out and sign a premium free agent. They can't do that. So what else are you going to do? Just keep waiting for the young guys to mature? Is that what you're going to do? They got to do something, significant. It can't just be a cosmetic move.
Mark in the car on the Patriots. Hi, Mark.
Hey, so the Patriots drafted a nose tackle in 2016 who sucked. They drafted a running back in 2018 who has really not been very good, tons of injuries, offensive lineman as well. In 2019, they drafted a wide receiver who may not be on the roster this year. Why are people criticizing them taking a quarterback? I'd rather them miss on a quarterback every single one of those years than taking non-valuable positions and having them miss on that. And one other thing, why are people also talking about Garoppolo? We wanted Garoppolo. If you look at their cap projection next year, I know the salary cap's going to go up, but they're going to have like no money next year. I mean, and Garoppolo would have been their long-term solution, right? So,
they could have afforded him, Mark. They could have afforded him. They could have, if they wanted to, but they wanted him at their price. So they could have figured it out. Garoppolo did not want to play ball with him on the contract.
I mean, that's another one that the more you think about that, boy, does that irritate me. It really does irritate me.
They couldn't afford him? I mean, granted, he needed to play ball a little bit too, but they could have afforded him. It just didn't work out.
So again, you negotiate with the player. And again, I admit I was listening to Zolak and Bertrand today, and they were touching on what Gasper said with us on Friday. Like that, you know, the whole idea of not, you know, wanting to pay Garoppolo, they wanted to leverage him. Where else are you going to get your money? So I have to take it from you because you don't think I can get it anywhere else? Well, go to hell. I'm not coming. Like, I the argument bugs me. Do you want the player or not?
So, and to his first point, why are people criticizing the pick? Because they went quarterback. I don't think people are complaining that they went quarterback. I think the people who are critical of the pick followed Mac Jones in college and thinks he's just a product of the players that he played with and the system that he played in, and he's just a guy and he's not. To people who are critical of the pick, no college football and watched him in college.
Gasper.
I mean, yeah, that's what I think it is.
But has anybody on this show been critical of the pick?
No.
Nope.
No.
All I said was I was surprised they took a quarterback because I didn't think Bill had it in him to do it.
I think the sell job is what gets me. But again, that has nothing to do with the team or the player or the pick. And that's all fine. I just don't know why I'm being sold that the player was in such high demand now after this. After the fact, I just don't. It feels a little unnecessary to me. Tom and Quincy, yes, Tom, on the Red Sox.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I heard the sound you guys played earlier with Theo, and those numbers that he was talking about. I'm not surprised, really. I mean, it's sad, but I'm not surprised. I mean, he said, but it was like 234 average, and you know, most strikeouts in 68. That doesn't surprise me one bit. Because when I was growing up and I was a kid, every team had a Dave Kingman or a Rob Dia or an Inca Velia or so on and so on. The problem now, like the Sox have three of those guys, right? That's... Most teams have more than one, and they have at least a superstar on the team. The problem is the superstar can't cover up for the inefficiencies that these kids simply can't hit.
They can't hit, Tom. It's just strikeout after strikeout after strikeout. Just flip on a game. It's all strikeouts. The numbers I think you were talking about is in Pete Abraham's column. Through Friday, major league hitters had a .233 average with a .701 OPS and were striking out 24% of the time. This season's on-base percentage of .310 is the lowest since 68, which was the year of the pitcher. And they had to raise the mound after that year. Lower the mound. Yeah, after that season. He also mentioned, you know, four no-hitters so far from bums like Wade Miley. On top of it all, never mind Means, you know, who's rounded into a nice pitcher, but that ain't Sandy Koufax either there.
No.
In Baltimore.
No, Wade Miley's a hack. That guy's a freaking hack. If he's throwing a no-no, you can shoot baseballs out your ass and throw one.
But the numbers that Theo threw out is that Bob Gibson had a strikeout rate of lower than 20%. Nolan Ryan, and who was the other one?
Sandy Koufax.
Sandy Koufax had strikeout rates of around 24-25%. The strikeout rate across Major League Baseball right now is 24.2%, which means every hack, every Tom, Dick, and Harry blowing baseballs out their ass is Sandy Koufax and Nolan Ryan. That's exactly what the game has become.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
And I was talking to Jimmy Stewart about this before the show, and here's the point. The blame that should go to the hitters, because there is blame on the hitters too. Why aren't you adjusting? Why aren't you doing what the Red Sox are now doing, which is trying to make more contact?
Because the team nerds tell them not to.
Bingo. Excellent.
Right. So the point is the science has helped the pitching, but it's hurt the hitting. Right? The science has hurt the hitting. So get rid of the science, you donkeys.
Find some new nerds.
Exactly.
Last two no-hitters are John Means and Wade Miley.
I mean, this was my problem with that 30-strikeout game, Red Sox-Mets, where DeGrom, fine. But half of those strikeouts were Nick Pivetta, Garrett Whitlock, who I like, but Jesus. Garrett and Matt Barnes.
Yeah. I mean,
this is what I'm talking about. Everyone's striking out. They don't mean anything anymore.
There were 30 strikeouts in that game.
I mean, come on.
30. 30. And again, I disagree with you still on that particular game, but that's not the bigger point. The bigger point is it's a freaking joke. They're all striking. They're all Nolan Ryan now. Okay. That comment from Theo blew my mind.
More on this in the Baseball Hour with Maz starting at 6. The final word comes your way next.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, first up today, another show, another Felger mispronunciation. This time, though, not a name, but the honorable method of seppuku, also known as... Hit it, Jimmy.
And now I'm reading into it, so take that what's into account. It was my fault. It was my fault. He's saying that over and over again, like, just fire me already. Get me out of here.
Hari Kari.
I'm not kidding.
Not either.
Like, maybe it's reached a point where he said, these guys don't. They just, it's not working.
Or is it Harry Carey? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not working.
Actually, Hari Kari.
You might have actually had it right. I think we might be wrong.
I have no idea which it is.
No, yeah. I think it's Hari Kari.
Hari Kari or Harry Carey? Or is it Harry Carey?
No, I think it's Hari Kari.
Hey, Hari Kari. Why don't we kill him? Kill ourselves.
Hari Kari.
I think you might have actually
had it. Or is it Harry Carey? What did you call it, Jimmy?
Seppuku is what it's also known as.
Seppuku.
Seppuku.
Hari Kari. That thing. Or is it Harry Carey? Just end it all.
Hari Kari.
End it with honor.
Also, let's, in case any of you have missed it today, it's been the talk of the Sports Hub. Let's relive Toucher V. Howe, shall we?
So they didn't try to trade up into the top 10 to get a corner.
They were trying to trade up for Mac Jones. That's all I can tell you.
So they didn't, you're saying that they didn't try to trade up into the top 10 to get a corner?
I'm telling you, they were trying to trade up for Mac Jones. I don't care about a cornerback. We're talking about a quarterback here. If the Patriots...
Why are you such a prick? Jesus, are you a prick? I mean, you're so defensive.
I'm telling you what happened.
Get out of here, Howe. You suck.
So there you go.
And then you hung up on him at that point.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at, Maz?
No, this cut is what I'm saying.
Oh, I was awesome. Laughing my ass off this morning.
I mean, you're so defensive.
I'm telling you what happened.
Get out of here, Howe. You suck. So there you go.
Wow. And then you hung up on him at that point. Yeah.
It is.
And it just feels like it's just going to get bitchier, doesn't it? Like the whole
Patriots
thing.
Oh, it's going to get worse. Yeah. It's good. So you're saying they didn't want to move up for a corner. No, I said quarterback. Quarterback is what I said. Yeah, so you're saying that the earlier trade wasn't for a corner.
Jeff and the morning show are going to be fine. Like, that's not you, but just the Patriots bitchiness in general.
Yeah, the royal Patriots.
Yes.
Like thing.
Yes. Yeah. That the Patriot thing is coming back.
Oh, no, it's going to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just so I'm on the outside of it, it's always better just to watch the thing and actually be involved in it.
Yeah, Bill knew the Saints wanted him, so he grabbed him at 50.
That's exactly what it is.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.